You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who've already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected, and 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Without the ones like you who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you. With professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
The following production is part of the We Be Geeks podcast collective.
From days long ago, from uncharted regions of the universe, comes a legend.
The dream that came through a million years, that lived on through all the tears.
It came here, the Fandom Nexus.
Fabulous secret powers were revealed to our host as he plugged in his microphone.
I have a podcast!
Here he is, your Spider-Pan, Jeremy.
Hello, yes indeed, I am back. And of course, as I start to hit record and I get the opening music rolling, that's when I suddenly find that my headphones cord is like tangled around some of my other cables and I can't move my head. But yeah, that's the weird, wild things that happen that you don't... Oh my goodness, did I just wrap it around my chair? No, okay. But I am back. I wasn't sure if I was going to record something this week. I did have a death in the family, and even today I've got a visitation to go to and a funeral to attend later, and a lot of things kind of going on. So I was thinking, well, maybe I just won't record something this week. But I thought, well, most of the show is kind of done. Because, as I mentioned last week, I was at Planet Comic Con. I got to interview some people and record some different panels and stuff. And so my plan, of course, this week is to release the interview I had with Katie Lee. Now, you probably, if you're a longtime fan of this show, you're going to be familiar with Katie Lee. She's been on the show many, many times. She was the voice of Honker Muddlefoot and Darkwing Duck, Sunny Gummy of the Gummy Bears, Connie Kendall from Adventures in Odyssey, Baby Rolf from the original Muppet Babies from the early 80s, and so many other different character voices. She's been really having some fun lately with the Dungeons & Dragons cartoon that she voiced a character in that one as well, because, I mean, there's toys out now and all kinds of different stuff. But it was fun. I finally got to sit down with her in person, which was great, because it's fun to see him in person, but it was kind of surreal, I got to say, though. Meeting her in person, because, you know, I've seen so much video on her, and she has this great little thing that she does on YouTube called Tell You Later that she used to do with Will Ryan before he passed away, and she still does it. So I'm used to seeing her in videos and stuff, and my brain almost didn't fully register that she was actually sitting there in front of me, I gotta say. But it was fun to be able to come by, and every time I kind of passed by her booth when I was busy, I would make sure I stopped and said hello or wave or something. You know, it was just fun. But I got a chance to sit down and talk with her about her new book, The Itty Bitty Book of Codependency, which has led me to have to do some research on what codependency is. And I'll share a little bit about that before I share the interview, and also give my thoughts on the book. I meant to leave a review on Amazon, but apparently you have to spend $50 every year on Amazon. You're not allowed to leave reviews. So I'm going to make sure I put some links to the book here in the show notes and on the website, so you can go and pick up a copy. And it's an interesting read. I guess I already just reviewed a little bit there. But go pick yourself up a copy and leave some reviews on there. We need to sell more copies of this book here, because this is interesting. And I feel like I've learned a little bit. And we'll talk about that, of course, later. Of course, until then, What have you been watching? Well, today is release day for X-Men 97. I have some news on that. I have not watched any of it. I suppose I might sit down on it today before the visitation starts, because I am going to be home today. So I'll take a look at it, and we'll talk about it maybe next week. Also, heck, this Ghostbusters Frozen Empire comes out this weekend, so there's something else to review for the next show. So next show, I might have some Planet Comic Con audio to share, but also we've got some reviews to talk next week, so make sure you're here next week. So I haven't really been watching anything that significant. I've been playing Final Fantasy VII Rebirth, and hey, you can watch my playthrough, and I'm doing it like an hour to 2 hours at a time. I'm sharing video up on the official Neverland Gaming channel. I am not going to spoil a darn thing for you, really, and I mean, and the fact that I am playing it, but I'm playing it slow. You're going to do it almost at my pace. Now, I'm a few hours ahead of the video that I, because I'm only releasing one video a day. I'm scheduling, so I'm a bit ahead of what you're actually seeing. I'm not actually going live while I play this. So, you know, you're going to see full gameplay. I edit out if I struggle with a particular mini game or something and repeat it multiple times. Like, OK, well, that's going to get boring. Let me just cut that out and get here's where I finally succeeded. Or maybe I just, you know, said, OK, I can't seem to accomplish this mini game, because that happens sometimes with a mini game. Like on the remake, there was a couple mini games I just never mastered. And so I did not get my platinum trophy on the first one. As much as I tried, I never could figure out a couple mini games on there. And there's a couple mini games I've come across that I'm like, nope, it's just not quite hitting that. And I'm also haven't quite mastered. There's one achievement where you get their stagger damage up to like 900. And I'm thinking, you know, I remember I managed to get something similar to like that on the remake game, but here on Rebirth, I haven't found anything that I'm getting that stagger up high. And I'm thinking, well, there must be more tricks to it than, you know, like, cause before you would use Tifa's Unbridled Fury ability, and then her attacks, when you've used that a couple times, would boost the stagger up, and you could just, you know, spam, you know, those attacks and everything and just build the stagger up until you hit 900. But you have to have a boss that'll stay around long enough for you to build that stagger up. And it's kind of a difficult thing to do, but I did manage to do it on remake. I'm not sure if I'm going to hit it here. And we'll see. Once I've completed the main story and I've unlocked all the trophies you get for just completing chapters of the story, we'll see what different achievements I need to get other than that, and see if I'm going to go for a platinum on this thing or not. So I know I'm going to play at least more than once, because I want to do some different variety on the relationships. I have gotten, I don't think it's online yet, I don't know, but I have gotten through the first visit to the Golden Saucer and had which of my relationships popped up to go hang out with Cloud. So I won't tell you who it was, but you just pay attention to some videos there on the official Neverland Gaming channel, and you can see it. And as I go through and I play again, and I'm going to try to get different characters to show up after, because right now I'm trying to keep it all pretty balanced. I'm going to take a sip of coffee, pardon me. But I'm, you know, I will try to favor particular characters next time around just to get a different result. Right now, I'm kind of letting things kind of play out. But I have noted if you keep it fairly even, I think there is a default character that will show up. And I think that's what I got, because I've been keeping it fairly even with the relationship Cloud has with some of his friends. And so I found that to be very, very interesting, which actually led to some. Gosh, I feel like I'm going to spoil things, but not really. I led to kind of some fun I had on YouTube, where there's a really, really good song, and I forgot the singer. I think her name was like Lori Aldred, I remember, or Lauren Aldred. She sings like the main theme, which has not yet been released, but maybe it did get released. I did see on YouTube that Sony of Japan has released an official music video for the short version. There's a 3-minute version of the song and a 7-minute. And I've seen the 7-minute version of the song where the singer is there with Nobuo Uematsu, the composer and writer of most of the music in Final Fantasy games, who wrote this song, that No Promises to Keep. And I've seen the full 7-minute version, which is probably like the end credits of the game, but I haven't gotten there yet. But I saw someone made a kind of video of the song and highlighting, though. Oh, you know, and they call it, of course, Clarith, the Cloud and Aerith, you know, that they're shipping for. And, you know, it led to an interesting, you know, I had a comment because people were like, oh, well, it's so obvious when you hear this song if that's what they're going for. And I say no, because when you look at the lyrics of the song, she's yearning for someone to come find her. Well, Cloud doesn't have to find her. He's right there the whole game. However, for those familiar with the storyline and maybe even played the Crisis Core game, which I have video of that up. I did live stream playing the Crisis Core game, I believe, on the Neverland Gaming channel. You know about Zack Fair, which if you played the original game back in 97, you'll be familiar with this character. And we've kind of gotten him reintroduced in this game in a very odd and interesting way that I'm interested to see how this plays out. But she never found out the first guy she ever loved, Zack Fair, from 5 years ago. He disappeared. She has no idea what ever become of him. But you look at the lyrics of the song and it's goes to how he met her, because he changes her life. The ribbon she wears in her hair was from him. The fact that she sells flowers was his idea, and he helped her build a cart to carry the flowers around to sell flowers to people. And so he completely changed her life, which is what the first verse talks about. And then, you know, in the verses talk about not needing any promises, because he wasn't made no promises that he would ever be able to come back, because you never know what could happen on when he's on a mission. Didn't need a promise, but she's got faith and believes that he's going to find her again. That is that entire song. But people have taken that somehow to Cloud. I'm like, that doesn't add up to Cloud if you really look at it. And yeah, I think there's some other things that people have said. It's like, well, wait a minute. It's like, are you not familiar with this? I mean, I guess some people think, oh, well, she's you know, it's been 5 years. She's over him. It's like, no, are you ever really over your first real love? I mean, I guess you, in a way you are, but she obviously still has memories of Zack, and still, I mean, she's still wearing the ribbon he bought her. I mean, you know, she didn't fully let go. And there's even I don't want to spoil, there's a conversation in the game where Cloud kind of asks, do you still like him? And she said, well, he's never given me a reason not to. So, I mean, she's holding on to that. So, but yeah, I found it to be kind of interesting. It's fun to have nice discussions with fans and everything and share things. But I thought that the person did a really nice job editing this little video, although they're hoping for something that's not going to happen. But of course, if you play the game in certain ways, you will get particular scenes, but it's not the canon storyline of how things are going to play out, provided things don't get completely altered. But I'm expecting Zack to be able to return, and Zack and Aerith are going to be able to be reunited when the whole story comes out of what actually happened to both Zack and Cloud, because right now Cloud does not seem to remember Zack, but I'm sure that's going to come up later. So anyways, I don't want to spoil the game if you haven't played it yet, or if you're still in the middle of playing it like I am. I'm finding time to play little bits here in between work and everything else going on in my life right now. And of course, you know, taking some time out to record this for you and share some fun. So, but that's what I've been playing, and I haven't been watching anything because I've been playing. Although I guess I did kind of I've been hearing nice things about it. My wife has already watched it on Crunchyroll, and I found it was on Hulu and dubbed in English, but there's an anime called Spy Family that my wife has really been enjoying. So I thought, well, I've been hearing nice things about it. Let me go and sit and watch some of it. And it is kind of a cute little show. It's kind of fun. It's basically really weird, but that's anime for you. Anime is kind of weird. So you have a spy guy. The guy's a spy who for a cover he needs to get a child into a school so he can monitor some criminal or something. And is this little girl actually is a mind reader. She's a little 6-year-old mind reader. So he's trying to be secretive and stuff. And she, you know, she's like, you're a spy. And she's in school because her favorite show is a spy show. But he needs someone also to be a mother, and meets this girl who's actually this assassin. But she's also very nice, and she's kind of awkward and everything. So you wouldn't think that she kills people for a living. Well, she kills bad people. I'll stress that. So there's this weird family where nobody knows, except for a little girl, what's really going on. But the little 6-year-old girl is not spilling the beans. But occasionally she said something in response to what their thoughts is, you know, as if they said it out loud. But it's kind of cute, and the little girl's fun, you know. So I've been enjoying watching. I think we've watched like 3 episodes I've watched so far. So I guess I have been watching something. But anyways, let's go on and get into some of the news that kind of happened over the last week. That was the wrong button. It wouldn't be me in this show if it wasn't for me hitting wrong buttons, though. You know that.
Spanning the Disney and geek universe to bring you the best in comics, toys, movies, and entertainment. This is news from around Neverland.
All right, so the first bit of news, and this is something I even just saw yesterday, Screen Rant and sharing this. Apparently, Some of the ideas of what George Lucas had for the sequel Star Wars trilogy has gotten out. There's 11 concepts they had here from his unused scripts that show how different the Star Wars sequel trilogy would have been. This, of course, I'm looking off a Screen Rant. I've heard there are some different things. There are some characters that he'd written in there that one of my coworkers was telling me about. We were talking about this. But it looks like George Lucas' plan for the Republic would have actually been different. In the sequel trilogy, you would have Leia building a Republic back up after she's successful led of the rebellion. Of course, Mon Mothma is still around there, too. But you had all this leadership that became very successful from leading the rebellion, that they would have built a strong Republic. And there would have been some recovering after the Empire had created some schisms, which would have been interesting. So maybe you still have some problems with like the Empire. And this would have been her following in the steps of both Bail Organa and her mother, Padme, which would have been very, very interesting. So, of course, we know that Luke was meant to become more of an Obi-Wan, and he would have successfully reestablished the Jedi, recruiting a number of younglings into the future of Jedi, which would have been a positive when you see a proper master Jedi. And despite conversations I had with pop culture pastors, it ended up saying some stuff about Luke of how he had grown and how he had changed. Where did that stuff? But I remember reading that. But it's like how his growth throughout the world to become who he became in Return of the Jedi. Yeah, but I can't seem to find where I was thinking. Or I was just reading about that, some of the ideas with Luke. Darth Maul actually would have been a main villain as sort of a crime overlord, as well as a Sith. Now, of course, Disney kind of changed that with the Star Wars Rebels series. Although we did see, in the Han Solo movie, that we do see Darth Maul leading the Crimson Dawn, which is a crime syndicate. But I guess that all would have ended in what happens in the Rebels series. But I guess that was maybe not meant to be how it was going to end for Maul. So we would have seen him, and he would have had an apprentice. Darth Talon was some ideas, and she's actually from a Star Wars Legacy book. And there was people who enjoyed that character, and I guess George Lucas wanted him to be the apprentice for Maul. There was going to have some stormtroopers. There was going to be like a rebellion of stormtroopers that were still trying to cling on to the old Empire. And I don't know exactly how that, if there would have been a major character of that or something. Yeah, but they're desperately clinging on. That might have been causing some of the schism, the Republic trying to deal with that. And also, there were going to be some more Jedi revealed to survive Order 66, which Disney has done, although it's getting kind of ridiculous. I guess they haven't even brought back as many as George. George was going to have at least 100 Jedi that survived that were going to be brought up, which is still kind of weird for, Luke being the last hope they have. They're like, okay, sure. So, but it makes you wonder, well, where were all of them during this rebellion? Lots of stuff. You would have Sith fourth ghosts appearing. So that would have been a way for maybe Palpatine to pop up in what they note is a less controversial way. A force ghost of Palpatine would have made a lot more sense. Luke Skywalker would have taken the Obi-Wan role. Okay, yeah, so there's two different things on there, but let me read what they said. The Star Wars sequel trilogy's depiction of Luke Skywalker was highly controversial because Luke was at the end of the original trilogy. Luke is full of hope and able to see the good even in Darth Vader, but the sequel showed Luke broken down and pessimistic, entering exile after his temple fell, which was completely a change for how we've seen him by the end of the film. I know it's a different opinion that the pop culture pastors had from me, but I, agree. He's grown from the whiny kid and pessimistic enough that he might have had. He's no longer looking to the future. He's focused on the now. He's learned from Yoda, and he's, become optimistic. So that's what we would have had a different path. And of course, he would have reestablished Jedi Order, as in one of the other things I said. And Leia was, of course, mentioned to be a Supreme Chancellor of the New Republic at this time. That's 30 years later. And of course, that also the prophecy of a chosen one. Actually, Leia would have been the true chosen one from what George Lucas was doing, which, there's some interesting questions from that, because Leia never forgave. Okay, Leia. I can't even speak. Leia never forgave her father, which would also mean that she never understands how similar to him that she is becoming. So this could have been interesting. And so having her to be the answer to the prophecy once believed to be about him would have been a lovely full circle moment, they say on Screen Rant, because, yeah, she'd be that sitting in the middle where she's not. You know, we don't know whether she'd become even a full Jedi or whatever. She could have learned the Force, but she would be sitting somewhere in the middle of the light and the dark side, because she's got a little bit of her father in her, kind of like Luke did. And Luke came to grips with that and went towards the light. But Leia was more of a politician, and which that's what we did see in the Timothy Zahn books, that she, you know, she was not really into the Force training. She was more focused on her duties and responsibility as a politician. She probably got that more from their mother and from, of course, Bail Organa. And they would have been, of course, a lot of interesting stuff about midichlorians, apparently, in the sequel trilogy left to George Lucas. But yeah, I would be very interested to see those get made somehow independent away from Disney. But I don't know if George would be allowed to do it. But I would have preferred to see that. That sounds more interesting than what we got. And I'm sure it would have been better characters and better told. Despite George, you know, the prequels are still good. Well, two of them are. One of them, it's not that great, but the prequel still has some good stuff in there. And I prefer them over the sequels, definitely. I'm starting to want to try to get to the point where the sequels, you know, I'm going to pretend they don't exist. Kind of like those Indiana Jones sequels, they don't exist. So, yeah, I'll leave it at that. All right, so Popeye, this is according to Variety, is looking at getting a new live-action film from Chernin and King Features. Now, of course, King Features has had the rights to Popeye, I think, you know, since the beginning. But the project is currently in development as a big-budget feature. Has attached screenwriter Michael Kaleo from Sexy Beast, The Family, and The Sopranos. And this is the first live-action revisiting of the character since the 1980 Popeye film with Robin Williams, directed by Robert Altman and co-starring Shirley Duvall. And the fun thing about that original Popeye musical is they really dove back into the comic strip and brought Olive Oil's family back in there. Because, you know, of course, when we watched cartoons, when if you're my age, which you probably are if you're listening to this, I guess, you'd saw cartoons where it was just Popeye, Bluto, and Olive Oil. You didn't really get a lot of the other characters so much until maybe later you'd see like the Sea Hag and I think the Loons or something like that, or the Goons or the Loons, I can't remember. And then you might see Wimpy. But that movie brought back the original characters because Popeye was not the star of the strip when it started. It was the Oils. And Popeye became a popular character when he first popped up, and he kind of just took it over. But Popeye has celebrated his 95th anniversary this year after appearing in the 1929 comic Thimble Theater. That's there it was. The character spawned both animated features and a series in its heyday and could be one of the earliest templates for mass merchandising across multiple generations. And 2 years ago, Popeye was named a key inspiration for menswear collections from Moschino, Supreme, and A Bathing Ape. Popeye is still the face of McCall Farm Spinach. In the cartoons, the vegetable offers the sailor superpowers to defeat his enemies, which carries the Popeye logo and face on canned goods. So there's a lot of, apparently some fans have been making some self-made movie trailers this year, but they've been getting millions of views, and a lot of them are imagining Dwayne Johnson playing Popeye, which I don't know who you'd have to play Popeye, but, you know, I don't know that he should necessarily be that tall, because you need to have Bluto to be kind of a big guy. And Robin Williams was not a super tall guy, and The Rock is tall. But you want somebody who kind of seems strong, but, you know, you can do some makeup things. I like kind of what they did with Robin Williams' arms there to make him look like the cartoon. And if you've never seen the old musical Popeye, I mean it's not a critic's darling, but it is fun if you're a fan of Popeye. I think you would enjoy it. I think we talked about it on the podcast a long time ago if you do some searching. Screen Crush has confirmed that they did talk with some creators, and a fourth in the kind of rebooted Star Trek franchise is in the works. They kind of got delayed for a few years with COVID and strikes and all this other stuff, but they are still planning to make a fourth film in that franchise. So we have other things coming up. Sonic 3, they finished wrapping their filming, which I figure that means right now they're working on the visual effects. In fact, that would, I'm sure right now they're animating all of their stars. So, because your main characters are all animated characters, and you got live action humans who are the supporting cast. So, yeah, I don't know a whole lot about what's happening on Sonic 3 because Jim Carrey was supposed to step down. So I think from what we've heard, we've got some side characters. We do have a Knuckles series coming, I think, very soon. I need to keep an eye on that because that looked like fun. Patty Jenkins, who brought us one good Wonder Woman movie and one not so good Wonder Woman movie, is saying that, hey, Star Wars Rogue Squadron is still going to happen. And we are looking at, I believe they're still looking at the idea of this being a series, although it might still possibly be a movie. But a lot of people have actually been looking for a series because there's a lot more you could do. I mean, if they base it upon the Rogue Squadron books, which I do own quite a few of those. I don't think I ever read, but maybe half of the first one. I should probably read those. The only thing is, you know, the Rogue Squadron books focused a lot on Wedge. And I guess you'd have to recast Wedge. And if you can find somebody who looks like Wedge from the movies and sounded a little bit like the voice they gave him, because the actor for Wedge actually had a heavy Scottish accent. I think at one point I got to interview the voice of Wedge at a convention. I'm sure that's also on a past episode. I probably should have looked up, but it just came to me now. And I'm seeing some stuff right here on the IGN page of there's people who are not confident in the showrunner for Star Wars, The Acolyte, and we're going to listen to that trailer later and talk about what little we know about it. Yeah, there seems to be some mixed feelings on that one. Anyways, talk about some mixed feelings. X-Men 97, the creator, Bo DeMeo, fired ahead of the premiere. He had completed work on seasons 1 and 2, this according to Variety, ahead of his exit. He will not attend the March 13th Hollywood premiere, or didn't. I guess that's after. And he'd been previewing artwork and answering fan questions about X-Men 97, but his Instagram account has been deleted where he had some of that artwork. He wrote and produced X-Men 97, which is a continuation of the 90s series that aired on Fox Kids. We don't know why they got rid of him, because executive producer Brad Winterbottom told Variety that he did excellent work writing seasons 1 and 2, and they can't wait for the fans to see the series. And they're calling it a revival worthy of the X-Men's 60-year legacy. From Stan and Jack to Claremont to the Lawalds, we are truly standing on the shoulders of giants. He is also a writer for the Moon Knight series, starring Oscar Isaac. He was writing the Blade feature film, which that seems to be having some problems. I don't know if that's still happening. I did see something where the lead actor is stepping away from it. He's got some credits for working on Star Trek Strange New Worlds, The Witcher series on Netflix, animated The Witcher Nightmare of the Wolf, and 2 animated League of Legends. And some of the original cast members, of course, are back for this series. But, you know, Hollywood Reporter apparently first broke the news that he had been fired, and they didn't really say why. And my thought was him is when I would see interviews with him, he clearly has an agenda, which I think I've shared an article where the agenda being put onto the X-Men, even in comics, and there's people who are part of this agenda who are saying, well, you've just never read the comics. Well, this is an agenda that Stan Lee never had intended. In fact, I have learned that Stan Lee never even meant it to be about racism back when in the 60s, but it seemed a fit at that time. He just was looking for a way to have people have powers, and he couldn't think of anything else. Like, you know, here's something cool. They were born with it, and we could just have people afraid of people that are born that way. And, you know, it was an interesting idea. It has endured, but it has been the flagship of certain agendas here lately. And I haven't had an interest in reading. And I will play some audio eventually with Chris Claremont was at Planet Comic-Con, and he's not pleased with what they've been doing so much either. He's pleased to still get to write some stories, but he has to go through and look at what they've done. And he's got some stuff that he doesn't agree with that they've done. One of them being the fact that if you die, you just get regenerated and you just get brought right back. So there's no stakes. And this is, he said, this is from the man who killed Jean Grey. And he meant for it to stay that way. And of course, that's the Dark Phoenix saga he refers to, which is one of the greatest stories. And I'm glad I own it. I would like to get the trade paperback of the actual Phoenix saga at some point, too. Chris Claremont did, you know, write some good stories back in the day. And that's, I think, his inspiration is what made the 90s series so good. So if they keep to that and they can keep some agendaizing out of the thing and just tell good X-Men stories, then I'm going to enjoy this series. But we'll see how far I get. I mean, it's I think there's only 10 episodes, so I could probably sit and just binge it today if I start enjoying it. But we'll see. OK, but that's all the news that I have for you. So now I want to talk a little bit about W.GG. Use the discount code Neverland. And hey, I do have on NeverlandPodcast.com, I have a big W logo. You click on that and you can get your discount. They are offering drink mixes. You mix this with some water energy drinks that aren't going to give you the jitters. And they highly recommend this for you gamers out there like me. So, yeah, lots of different flavors. You can get cups and all kinds of stuff. Dubby. And if, of course, if you make a purchase through them, you do help out the show. I do get a little bit of kickback from that. So, yeah, try that out. Dubby. But now let's go to the trailer park.
Mama, now the gator got in the house.
Now the gator? Give me that sugar. Come here.
Get him, Mom. Get that gator.
The Neverland Trailer Park.
Okay, I only got one trailer that I've collected for you this week, but I figure it's important. This is The Acolyte, Star Wars The Acolyte, new series.
Close your eyes. Your eyes can deceive you. We must not trust them. Tell me what comes into your mind.
Life. Balance. I see fire.
Someone is killing Jedi. It doesn't make sense.
What happened?
I sensed darkness.
This isn't about good or bad. This is about power and who is allowed to use it.
What is that?
All right, so this is coming in June with a 2-episode premiere to Disney Plus. Doesn't say much about it here on the official Star Wars YouTube channel. When I'm looking at this, doesn't really have anything to say other than from what I've been seeing about this. This is kind of like Return of the Sith. This is from the High Republic book series. I mean, it's not adapted from that, but it's in that era of things where the High Republic, which is, let's say, it's when they first announced it. It was a very woke take of a Star Wars universe. So. Not sure what to expect with what they've done with some characters. I want to at least give it a shot. This, as they were talking about Star Wars Celebration, they were trying to go in the style a little bit of a kung fu movie with like Jedi hand-to-hand combat. And after the second time that I've watched this, looking at some of the hand-to-hand combat, I can see they're trying to go that way, but it doesn't look as crisp as, say, like what you saw in The Matrix. You know, it doesn't seem like, you know, because these are actors that are not studying kung fu or another, they're learning some fight choreography or whatever. And as we've seen in a lot of modern films, they do a lot of fast cuts, even a Marvel film, you know, basically for an actor who's a great actor, but maybe they're not, their fighting doesn't look as good as they want. And so they do a lot of fast cuts to make it seem faster and more frenetic. And I appreciate this shot they have where it's not fast cut, but I don't know. It doesn't look as crisp as when you watch, like, say, The Matrix, or even watch one of those old, you know, kung fu movies from the. But I've noticed, like, old kung fu movies from China, they would pause at each movie. They would whoa and then huh, you know, so you could see each thing, you know. But they were still very interesting. You know, the action was still pretty fast and furious, but yet they wanted you to see each step in the combat. But I don't know. The move didn't look cool. As good, I mean, it looked cool, but it didn't look as crisp as, say, like what we saw in The Matrix with the, you know, and then you had Keanu Reeves actually was studying to make sure he could be good at it and make it look good. But you know, you could stay on some nice long shots when your actors really train hard. And I'm sure they did some good training for this one, but I don't know, that shot, it doesn't look, I think, as good as it could have, but it is kind of cool to see this Jedi kind of, you know, blocking a few punches and then using the Force to push somebody back. Yeah, that was cool, you know. So I want to give this a shot. I'm going to take a look at it and I want to see if it's good, but we'll see how much of the message got put into this. So we'll see. Because I know I'm fine with everybody, you know, people around Star Wars being all kinds of different colors and races and everything. That's great. But there's different things that I cannot get behind and I cannot endorse. We'll just put it as that. I'm as delicate as I possibly can be, but there's certain things that I, you know, no, let's not do that. That is not right. But, you know, having a diverse cast is fine. But there are people who are concerned that they were more worried about having a diverse cast than they were about telling a good story. like the Eternals. The Eternals had a diverse cast and they celebrated that, but then the story wasn't great. So hopefully they did story first and then we just got a diverse cast just to play it out. And like, that's fine. And the first time I watched it, I was like, do white men not exist? But I did spot one. I spot one white man in here. It's like, if you're diverse, white is a color too. We should all be able to be together and show everything. And I would like to see some more alien Jedis. I mean, everybody's kind of humanoid. I want to see more like a Plo Koon or the one character that had that smile in the prequel trilogy. You know, he was green, had kind of tentacly head. He was pretty cool. I want to see more alien. I mean, we see some as kids, but we don't see them as major character Jedis of like really alien looking Jedi. Where are they? If we're going for a diverse cast, I'm going to see some alien Jedi, for crying out loud. So, well, I guess they're not really aliens in the Star Wars universe. Because they're from their planet. They're just, it's a republic of, you know, whatever. But yeah, that's what I would kind of like to see. I'd like to see some like interesting looking alien characters. Twi'lek Jedi, for crying out loud. Where do we get those? Are we going to get some of that? You know, some races that we've seen maybe in the original trilogy that we haven't seen a Jedi version. And the prequels had that. We had different species, we would say, that were Jedi. I'd like to see it, you know. More of whatever Yoda's race would be. If this is supposed to be like thousands of years before the prequels, there should maybe be more of Yoda's race, don't you think? I don't know. But yeah, that's what I'd kind of like to see. But we'll, you know, I'm going to check it out. I'm going to try out an episode and see what I think about that. Okay, now it's another time to, I know I just came out of talking about Dubby, but I needed, of course, take a commercial break, a couple of ads in here. I don't want it to interrupt the interview with Katie Lee, so we'll put those right about here. So we'll be back in just a few minutes. Stay tuned.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage? Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
Codependency, this is coming off the MHA National, Mental Health America, and they says codependency is a learned behavior that can be passed down from one generation to another. It is an emotional and behavioral condition that affects an individual's ability to have healthy, mutual, satisfying relationships. It is also known as relationship addiction, because people with codependency often form or maintain relationships that are one-sided, emotionally destructive, and/or abusive. The disorder was first identified about 10 years ago as the result of years of studying interpersonal relationships in families of alcoholics. Codependent behavior is learned by watching and imitating other family members who display this type of behavior. And I think sometime you might pick it up. I guess I'm going through Katie Lee's book, and I guess I'll go drop my review of it here now before I talk to her, because we talk a little bit about the book and she has me read some stuff from it. And it's a really neat book because it's she had an artist draw pictures because she's trying to be lighthearted about some stuff that's kind of serious. And it's a little sad. But yet, you know, the pictures, we kind of can relate to some of it. I think everybody has a little bit of these some of these traits that Katie Lee has brought into this book. And we're going to look at that. So, oh, yeah, that's me. And there's some stuff I think we kind of learn in life, not necessarily from the behavior of my family. I'm going to have Philip read this book because I think he can leave a review on Amazon. Plus, I saw some stuff that maybe might relate to him because he was in an emotionally destructive and an abusive marriage. I mean, not necessarily physically all the time, but yeah, his wife was it was terrible. But some of the codependency, and it's some of his good qualities, but people can take advantage of his good qualities of where he would take the shirt off of his back for you. And it's a lot of good things that he would do, but that, you know, that someone will take advantage of that. And I don't know if he's got a relationship addiction type of thing, but I mean, I saw stuff I related. I have a habit sometimes, like I had such a small group of friends like coming through school, and I had people that, you know, I like many people, you know, you go through your bullying and stuff. And I had all kinds of crap, and I was kind of an oddball, shy kid. Really? You imagine me? Yes, I was kind of a shy kid. I didn't have a lot of close friends around like in school until like maybe later years or whatever. But when I have people who like me, like when I go into a workplace and I have a bunch of people who like me, it's weird for me. But yet I will try to do anything. I will go out of my way trying to be like super nice because I want people to like me, but I feel weird when they do. And hopefully some of you can relate to that. So I kind of see some of these traits, but I don't not fully to where I'd say I'm codependent, because I'm happiest having a small circle of close friends instead of a lot of acquaintance, because I'll get along great with a lot of coworkers. But frequently, other than social media, when I stop working with those people, I don't really communicate with them that much. And there's some people I wish I still was in communication with. There were some really delightful people I've worked with before that, in a time before social media, that I'm like, I've lost all contact with them. And there's people I wish I still could talk to that I enjoyed, you know, spending time with them and on my breaks and lunch and stuff like that. So, I mean, there's people I still like to be able to be friends with. But they've also noted that your personality at work and your personality and your home life can be quite different. I don't know. I think the more I get to a job that's more suited to me, like, you know, working radio and currently now in television, I feel like I'm more myself at work. So I don't know. And I like the people I work with right now, but it's having people that actually like me is awkward for me. But I also I want people to like me, and so I feel like I put in a lot of extra effort, and I feel like that's part of what the codependency is you might be putting on all this effort, and maybe it's not reciprocated, and they just take advantage of you doing it, and they might take you for granted that you're doing that. They don't thank you for it, and I saw that a lot in the book, and I feel like Katie's book really kind of helps you be able to take a look. You kind of can understand codependency. I mean, I still wanted to look up stuff because I wanted to understand everything, what she was communicating. But it also, it makes you feel like you're not alone. Like, there's a lot of different ways where we all kind of relate to it. But if you relate to a lot of the stuff in this book, then you might want to seek some help. That's, I think, what it is. But it's she does a nice lighthearted. The cartoons are great and fun. I really liked the artwork in this. But this can end up being painful, and what it can do to your life with codependency. It mentions there's can be an addiction by a family member to drugs, alcohol, relationships, work, food, sex, and gambling can start on there. This is you'll suffer some fear, anger, pain, and shame. The existence of physical, emotional, and sexual abuse can cause this, and it can make you, if you're used to it, it'll cause you sometimes, I guess, to get into a relationship where you still have that, but you're addicted to the relationship because you have to have that. You want people to like you, that you'll get into bad relationships. And so there's a lot of different stuff. And so, yeah, if you end up relating a lot of stuff, and I recommend getting this book, definitely. You can even look it up on Amazon, The Itty Bitty Book of Codependency. It's a short read, but well, it'll It'll get you. It'll get at you. There's some stuff I think you'll relate to. And if you really are in a codependent thing, you'll very much be able to relate to a lot of it. But she offers some very nice hope and a nice some poem that you're going to be familiar with, but maybe not read the entire, at the end of the book. I really enjoyed it, and I'm going to have Philip read this because I think he's going to relate to it. And then, of course, he can write a review, but I'm going to recommend him get himself a copy. But I need to show this book to him here when I see him next. I forgot to bring it with me to church last Sunday, but I will definitely have him read it because I think he's going to understand some of this. So, yeah, I definitely recommend this book, not just because Katie's just awesome, but because, she's written a good book. And I think she might be sharing a little bit about maybe her own story. I don't know everything on that, so I'll leave that at that. But let's turn it over to my conversation here with Katie Lee, which I got to remember to edit because I think there were some times when people came to her booth to visit with her, so I'd stopped. So I will edit that around, and we'll hear that next. And I'll be back with you to wrap up the show right after this. I'm back with Katie Lee again.
Again.
Well, at least it's again
back
for me.
Together again.
So this is because this is going to go. I'm probably going to share this on both the Phantom Nexus and also all those of you who love Diz Radio. We have some new stuff because you've been on Diz Radio before too. Jonathan said, "Oh, I've ever talked to her." I said, "Yeah, but have you talked to her about the Itty Book of Codependency?"
The Itty Bitty Book of Codependency. Yes, my new book, which has nothing to do with voiceover, cartoons, or anything.
Although it's got
life.
Some cute art on the front.
Oh, it's a comic book.
Oh my goodness!
Yeah, as a matter of fact, this is what you're looking at is the original, the first edition. Now the new ones that people can get on Amazon and at their favorite bookstore if they order it is a square, so it really looks like a coloring book. And it's great. The pictures are bigger, and it's a great size, and it's super fun.
So now you can color it in too.
Yes.
It looks like a coloring book.
It's got illustrations, and it's very simple reading, right?
Yeah.
One sentence per page. For those of you who have light reading.
Yeah. So it's great for even for kids. And I'm sure adults will have fun with it, too.
It's mainly kids. I mean, it's mainly for adults.
Oh, really?
But kids, yeah, it's not a kid's book.
Well, you let the kids color in the pictures and you just read it.
Well, a lot of adults like to color, too.
There you go.
Yeah. So, yeah, it's just kind of fun. Ideas of, kind of to nudge you a little bit. Why don't you read some of the, testimonials?
Oh, there. Testimonials. Oh, is this on the front page?
Yeah,
totally solicited reviews. By people who owe me. I like your friend's drawings. I had fun coloring the pictures. Mom, I couldn't put this book down because I promised I would read it. From Gretchen. I failed to see how this applies to me. Oh my goodness. I know plenty of friends who need this book, and I'm going to borrow it from them when they're done reading it. Name with help. Now, is this legit people wrote these for you? Or is this just your sense of humor?
Well, most of them are legit that people wrote, but with a sense of humor.
Right.
Yes, because it is a humorous look at how our behavior sometimes is nonsensical and not helpful to ourselves. Yes.
Yeah, humor is a good way to do that because I bet some of this is like a hit in the head. We're like, oh, yeah, I'm kind of do that.
Exactly. And it's so much fun. Like some people, they can't relate. And other ones like you, they'll read and I get the greatest joy about watching somebody look at a page and start laughing because we're really laughing at our own behavior.
Yeah.
And we're relating, and it's it's a nice way of holding up a mirror to yourself without feeling too embarrassed.
Yeah, I have to laugh at myself because I'm just that weird. I am that guy in a nice professional job working in at local TV that everybody knows my office because I have all my toys in there.
There you go.
And I have, of course, Star Wars posters. And, I'm the big kid in there, which has enabled some of my coworkers to do the same. Now I've got somebody across the hall in his office. He's got the Rocky III painting from the end of the movie. Now he's got his copy hanging there.
Well, it makes the environment a lot more fun, right? I'm here to promote fun. At the Tell You Later show.
Yes.
Right? It's another fun way of just goofing off, but sharing some really good insight into we have a new motto, and if I can remember it, it's
what's the motto? I don't know.
What's
the motto with you?
Yeah, it's voiceover, pop culture, humor, and I don't know. I should have this memorized, right? It's my show, but it's not. What is it, Vinny? Anyway, in the meantime, voiceover pop culture and beyond. I got to say that a few times, right? But it's after Will passed away, Will Ryan, my buddy who I started the show with, they're still doing it. And this month, actually, Phil Barron is on. We got Phil Barron, who was
Will's
original partner, Willie O and Philio. and Teddy Ruxpin. He's Ruxpin's voice. We got three or four parter with Phil. And it's really great, but it's so neat to meet you in person because I've only met you on the phone.
Yeah, on the phone. I think we did do camera on Skype once, but most of the time it's like I call on the phone or everything. And
it's been a while.
Yes, it's been a little while.
Yeah, and you seem to be doing really well. It's so great to see you.
I seem that way, don't
I? You seem that way, at least, yes.
That's the image I prefer to put out there.
So, yeah, I mean, I'm so excited to be here in Kansas City. Yeah.
Is this your first time ever here?
Yeah, I've never been to Kansas City. This is an amazing con. I haven't had a chance to bop around here yet. I should have, because I always do that. I wait till it's too late. But we have a great table. I have Connie candles. I have some Adventures in Odyssey stuff.
Saw some of those out here.
I have a Hasbro Sheila from Dungeons and Dragons.
Nice.
Yes, we got that. And Sunny Gummy Funko there. Pops. That
Which
are
I brought mine with me.
Certificated. Oh, good. You got yours with you. Excellent. Yep. So, yeah, I want people to check out the Itty Bitty Book of Codependency because that's new. And definitely the Tell You Later show.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And what's fun is, like, a lot of people who, not realize it's all the same person doing these. I think this is kind of similar, like, years ago. Finding your website, and you were labeled it the voice of your childhood.
Yes.
And I looked at all the work you'd done. I was like, she ain't kidding. I was like, since I was little bitty watching Muppet Babies, there you were.
Far out. That's cool.
Yeah. I've always loved the Muppets. And Rolf is, he's probably number four because I still haven't ranked exactly where in the top three is Kermit, Fozzie, and Gonzo. Probably Gonzo because I'm probably more like him. I think Kermit is what we all esteem to. But we always end up, we're not that funny like Fozzie, or we're just kind of weird like Gonzo.
Right.
And I'm never quite fit in, so I'm more of the Gonzo, but we all try to be like Kermit. Sort of like in Star Trek. We all want to be Captain Kirk, but we probably fall into one of the other two weirdness of, like, Spockness. I thought we had people looking at some of yours. Okay.
You know, I'm sitting next to Chip from, Chip from Beauty and the Beast, and he was also in Jumanji. His name's Bradley Pierce. I'm in very, very esteemed company here.
Yeah, you are.
So yeah, also a couple people from Land of the Lost. So yeah, there's great. And my buddy Jason Marsden's behind me here. So.
I've never talked to him before. I'm going to have to go over there.
Say hi.
Yes. Maybe we can get him to record with me too. I don't know.
Sure
we'll find out.
I'm sure he will.
Although Jonathan told me, he's been on the show before. I was like, yeah, but I've never talked to him.
Well, there you go.
So, and you never know. Sometimes, like the CelebWorks corner, I spent a lot of time over here last year because I was talking to Margaret Carey. If you've ever gotten to meet her,
yes, I have. I've read her book as well.
I've got the book and signed. I haven't sat down and read it yet.
It's
nice
to read. Well, especially nice for me because she's from LA. I'm from LA, so there's a lot of familiar stuff in the book.
And she's just the sweetest person.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I got to interview her a long time ago. And I didn't realize she told me she's actually got this memory thing where sometimes, like by the next day, she's forgotten half of the stuff.
Well, so, what is she, 91 or something?
So I was like, I don't know. I got to spend a lot of time with her like years ago. I was like, I don't know if you'd remember me at all. She's like, no, I don't remember what I talked to yesterday.
That's so, right. So you could interview her all over again. You never know. She might say something different.
They had the actor who played the young Josh Baskin in Big here last year.
Oh, really?
I didn't realize he'd been in Seinfeld and all this stuff. And I had my friend who was a big Seinfeld fan was like, that episode. And he was like, oh, my gosh. And he looks just the same.
Wow.
He's just taller. But you never know who you're going to run into. And I like these smaller areas where you're not, you're like, you're in the celebrity role, but not because you never know who you're going to meet that you go and you look at they've done like, this person helped raise me. So you're one of them people. You're like that third mom.
I'm so blessed. Yeah. It's my pleasure, my honor. And I'm just so thankful.
Yeah. All right. And so for anybody who doesn't know, hasn't recognized your voice. So of course, Connie Kendall.
Connie Kendall from Adventures in Odyssey, and we're celebrating our 1,000th episode, August 1st, a big whoop-de-doo in Colorado Springs.
If I find out a way I can get myself there, I'm getting there.
I just heard, Paul McCusker's wife loves Comic-Cons, and she's volunteering here. She's at the green room today, and she told me they're going to decorate downtown Colorado Springs in like Odyssey theme. So that sounds pretty exciting. If that's true, that sounds awesome.
Oh,
so that's
man.
Happening. And yes, I was Sunny Gummy on the Gummy Bears, mm-hmm. Rolf the Dog in the Muppet Babies, Honker Muddlefoot on Darkwing Duck. I got a new shows out right now, actually, on Adventures TV, which is a streaming... No, Answers.TV.
Yep.
Sorry,
yeah,
Answers.
I heard you talk about this on another show.
Yeah, Lily's Lab. I'm Lily the Dinosaur, where we ask questions and dig for answers. And I'm working on some shows with Butch Hartman, who's here. The Garden Cartoon, he said my episode's up this month, one of them. I did a few characters, and then we're working on some other shows and a new show that is hopefully getting shot. We just did a... So, yeah, I'm still doing all kinds of things. A lot of
keeping busy.
E-learning. People say, were you one of my kids? As homeschoolers hear me on Time for Learning. It's kind of fun. It's great to be recognized out in the wild.
You have a whole new generation growing up with you again.
Isn't that fun?
Yeah, my goodness. You're just going to have this legacy of all these people.
It's amazing. Who would have thought?
Yeah. Who would have thought? Especially early. Like, I was just listening to a Hanna-Barbera podcast that I think Chris Anthony Lanza, I think, is the one who mentioned it. So I finally got a couple episodes in yesterday. And you were talking about something in the 70s, some weird one. I can't remember what it was now.
Pandemonium?
Yeah, I'd never heard of that before.
That was the 80s, too.
Oh, that was the 80s?
It was my first series I was cast in as a regular, yeah. And Greg Airbar is also on the Tell You Later show. I got to interview him, so.
Yeah, and there's something familiar about him, but I don't know where I know him from.
Well, a lot of things. Just he's the work Disney. He mm-hmm. wrote a lot of stuff for. He used to work for Disney in Florida. He created the maps.
Oh wow!
When you go, and he's also I guess when you drive into Florida, there's like a sound you can listen to when you're driving in your car. He's written many books.
Wow.
And a lot of stuff at Disney. So, yeah, he was a writer for them.
I think I'm going to have to track him down now,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, I think you should. You should have him on your show for sure.
Yes.
He knows everything.
And soon he will know me.
Yes.
So then he'll know everybody he needs to know.
Well, if you need an introduction, I'll be happy to introduce you.
I'd appreciate
it. He has a new book coming out, the Hanna-Barbera book.
Oh.
Yeah.
See, and that's that. Hanna-Barbera is like that other one.
Well.
I've been chief meteorologist at the station I work at. I've had this discussion with him many times. I say, okay, everybody talks about Mel Blanc. Mel Blanc's great, but they all forget about Dawes Butler. And I said, you watch anything Hanna-Barbera, you've heard Dawes Butler.
Right.
And he was just as versatile, I think. Just as talented.
Oh, yeah.
But he always was like, oh, you don't even like Mel Blanc. Because he's that type of guy. And I was like, no, I love Mel Blanc. But you got to check out Dawes Butler if you loved Yogi Bear and Huckleberry Hound.
And a lot of people were trained by Dawes because
yes.
Dawes used to
That's
teach.
The other thing. I've never heard anybody tell me that Mel Blanc taught them anything. But Dawes Butler, everybody will credit him with helping them out.
Exactly.
It's like, that's
a very
that's
good
character.
Guy.
Yeah. And I love Mel Blanc, but Dawes Butler, man. Oh.
Well, it was really great talking with you.
It's nice finally see you in person.
Yay!
Okay, Katie Lee, everybody. And the book is The Itty Book of Codependency.
Itty Bitty Book of Codependency.
And it's a big deal
and
despite being itty bitty.
It makes a great gift.
Yes, indeedy. And it's on Amazon?
Yeah, Amazon or bookstores or through my website if you want an autographed copy.
Okay, I want to remind you to visit NeverlandPodcast.com. Hey, you know what? There's a big link there. It says Podgagement. That is Daniel J. Lewis, who is a podcast Hall of Famer, by the way. I found his induction speech as he got into the Podcasting Hall of Fame at a podcast movement. He's got this great little setup. If you happen to have a podcast, you want to see your reviews and a lot of other features. He's got different plans on Podgagement. Follow my links right in there. I get a little kickback, and I appreciate that. Of course, remember, while you're there, you can join the official Lost Boys or Pixies. We have Pixies because girls are too clever and they don't get lost. But we want to thank Karen Kennedy, Ricky Pope of Christian Learns Unite, and Darren Wilhite of the Wilhite and Wall Show for helping me out with the introduction. I thank them as usual. Don't forget, you can contact us to podcast at neverlandpodcast.com. I am still on Twitter or X at Neverland PCast. We're on Facebook at Neverland Podcast. There's both a group and a fan page. I'm starting to try to get the group to be more interactive. I have like some automatic questions of the week that will show up. And of course, don't forget, if you don't want to hear the ads, you can donate through Patreon. Become a patron. Patreon.com/Neverland Podcast. And also, if you look right there in the show notes, you'll find your links for Red Circle, where I host this show, that you can become an exclusive member. And on the exclusive feed, I don't put the ads in. You'll still have me talking about some of the ads, but that doesn't take nearly as much time as what the ads that I put into the show, because I do need those to help pay for this show. I need all the help I can get. Trust me. But that is where we're going to wrap the show up for this week. And so, of course, how we end every show? Get lost in an adventure. And I will see you next time.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.